To say?
Maybe. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Scott Hanselman.
Thank you very much. Cool, that was cool. Thanks for hanging out and gosh, for waiting in line for like 6 hours until that whole beginning thing. Well, I don't know what that was this morning, that whole beginning thing that took like 3 hours. There's some kind of a conference going on, I don't know. Thank you so much for hanging out with me, and I will hopefully do the best I can not to waste your time. I got a little timer here that's going to warn me when that gets started. Right now I have an unlimited time because the timer hasn't started. But my name is Scott Hanselman, and I work on Azure and Web Tools. And I have some tragic news for you, I'm afraid. Am I being captioned? Oh, that's cool. Now I need to find out where they are. Technology. Whatever it is, they're running in Azure. So here's the news, guys. I put together this deck for you that was full of animated GIFs. There was one segment of the thing that was about 30 straight Neil Patrick Harris animated GIFs. You know, the really good ones, you know, not the easy stuff, not the How I Met Your Mother stuff, but I'm talking about the you know, Starship Troopers days, you know what I mean, like way back, and they were like, yeah, I can't use those. And you can't use Disney characters, and you can't say, you know, you can't say Darth Vader, you have to refer to him, you know, in like Varth Bader or something, and no Star Wars, I had all this great stuff, no movie stills, no clip art of any kind. Well, okay, so they did give me clip art. There's some white text on a white background. Feeling pretty good about that slide. That's actually a picture of me in a snowstorm. There's some clip art they gave me, that guy. And they gave me that. I can use that. I can use that one all I want. Like unlimited. Every slide is going to have that on it. And then they gave me that one. I'm not even sure. I don't even think that's real. That's not even made. So. The guy was cool about it, though, but he said, all right, well, you can't use these different images. And I said, well, what if I draw them with the power of Windows 8.1 and touch? And he was like, yeah, that's totally cool. You can totally do that. And I was like, I can, like, draw pictures of Star Wars or whatever, and I can say, hi, my name is Scott Hanselman. I work for Microsoft. And he was like, yeah, you can totally do that. But I have to make it like more modern. See? So as long as I stay within that constraint that has been given to me by the fun police, then everything will be cool. So you will forgive me as all of my slides have been drawn with just one finger. Not my dominant finger, but in touch paint. So that made me feel good. I don't know where to point this clicker. There we go. All right, so we're going to talk about ASP.NET. And am I up there like the whole time? If I get any wider, I would be clear. Am I in the light? Should I be in the light? Is it better to be dark and back here? Oh, hey, free advertising. Really shows off my back fat. I'm going to face this direction instead. We're going to talk about ASP.NET, and I want to juxtapose two things, though. There's ASP.NET, which you think of as like the umbrella of technologies that is ASP.NET. And who is the father of ASP.NET? You don't have to yell it out. I'll show you a picture. That way you know exactly who it is. I wasn't allowed to use any stock photography of any kind, so hopefully you figure out that he likes you and he thinks you're great. It's the expressiveness of the tablet operating system that makes me excited. But there's ASP.NET and then there is web tooling. And it's important to point these two things out because we've got ASP.NET, the runtime, and then there's web tooling that sits on top of Visual Studio, though. And those things are sometimes revved at different speeds, right? So ASP.NET 4.5 came out last year, which really, if you think about it, was not very long ago. What was it like? Was it October? Something like that? So not even a year ago. That's ASP.NET 4.5. And then Visual Studio 2012 came out. And then we started doing quarterly releases. Now, the quarterly releases that we were doing took two different forms, and it got a little confusing for some people. There's quarterly releases to Visual Studio, like 2012.1 and .2, also known as Visual Studio 2012 Update 2. That included a bunch of new things in the web tool space, but didn't update the core of ASP.NET, but included lots of new functionality in ASP.NET. But rather than shipping them and putting them in the GAC, in the global assembly cache, it shipped them with NuGet, which is our package manager. So this allows us to deliver software in a little bit different way, but it's not the whole wait 2 years and then surprise and then we drop it on you and then you wait 2 more years for the next big thing. Some people feel like that means that there's fewer surprises. Yeah, there are fewer surprises. When you do open source things in an open source world, there are fewer surprises, including that surprise. But I just had a notification pop up. But we think that the web, you may have noticed, is shipping faster than Visual Studio is shipping. And because of this, we need to decouple pieces of ASP.NET so that we can change ASP.NET and improve it as fast as the web is going. So the timeline is a little bit different. And this can be also frustrating for people who feel like, hey, I just got 2010 or I just got 2008 and now you're shipping again. Well, you remember that we had round-tripping support in 2010 and 2012, and that kind of continues. You can open up 2013 now, go file new project and make a .NET 2 app. .NET 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5. You have the control, so you can still maintain and build these older apps. So even though things are moving fast, you shouldn't necessarily be afraid of those older projects. Now you can see that we released 2012 last year. Then earlier this year had a small update to the tooling. Now in the fall we're doing 2013. I'm going to try to give you an idea of what's in each one of these, what's cool, what's not cool. I think that one turned out pretty good. You recognize them, right? It's Damian Edwards. So 4.5 included scripts and libraries as NuGet packages. So when you said file new project and inevitably jQuery was out of date, you could go and do an update and you could get the latest jQuery and bring that into 4.5. It included things like web optimization and bundling. One of the things that I think people forget about with 4.5, if you haven't already upgraded to 4.5, is how much faster it is and how much smaller memory footprint with ASP.NET apps. You can take a 4.0 app, put 4.5 on the machine, and not even recompile that 4.0 app, and it will simply be faster to start. It will simply use less memory. So if you're in a hosting environment, you're going to be able to get 20-30% more sites on that machine. The density that you can pack your IIS service with is greater. So there's goodness in 4.5, even if you don't choose to go and use some of those APIs. There's also, of course, the inclusion of WebSockets. And there's also something here called data annotations that we're going to talk about a little bit, but I want you to remember data annotations and what that means. Now, in ASP.NET, let's build a cat. I'm going to have to tell you because you obviously don't know who these people are. In 4.5, web forms included full support for HTML5. This is really, really important. Web forms developers, while I know there's a lot of enthusiasm about MVC and a lot of enthusiasm around web API, the vast majority of what I have called in the past as dark matter developers, right? I mean, they take up the larger part of the universe, but we can't prove that they exist. But they do, and there's millions of them, and they're watching, and they use ASP.NET web forms, and they feel good about web forms. And they don't like the whole kind of East Coast, West Coast, Biggie, Tupac, web forms, MVC thing that's going on here. It's just not healthy, and it's not nice. So there's things in web forms that we've improved on, and I'll do some demos and show you to try to explain what the concept of one ASP.NET is. Because after 4.5, we started thinking about, what are we going to do to make this stack better? So you saw that we open-sourced a pile of stuff. SignalR is open-source. Be sure to see Damian Edwards' talk later today and see what he's open-sourced with David Fowler and the team. The Entity Framework, if you had not heard, the ORM that we use, Entity Framework, is open-source. It's up there. You can do the daily builds if you want. For those who are interested, you've been able to play with daily builds of ASP.NET MVC and Web API for months. And you can bring those down and play with them and not affect your existing projects if you don't want to. Now, in 2012, we included things like round tripping. That's so important. The idea that I could have Mads on one version of Visual Studio, me in another, and we could round trip a .NET 4 application between us. So maybe the architect or the advanced person on the team is trying the new stuff, but he doesn't want to mess up the person who's using maybe one version back. But in 2012, we also completely revamped the CSS editor. Completely revamped it. And it enabled some of the scenarios that you saw in the keynote today and some of the things I'll show. I want to make sure that you go and see Mads' talk. When is your talk, sir? Friday morning, Mads Christensen is going to do something amazing on stage live that's never been done, and it's going to be awesome, and he's going to show some of the things that they've done with the CSS editor. They wrote that entirely from scratch. 2013, the HTML editor has been rewritten from scratch. Now, why would you go and rewrite it from scratch? Well, that historical baggage has been removed, and now MEF, the Managed Extensibility Framework, allows us to plug pieces of the, plug in new pieces and new functionality in a non-invasive way. So we're trying to change this cadence and release things a little bit more often, but we also want to release things in an appropriate size. So rather than dumping a whole new version of ASP.NET, when we brought out the web tools, we gave you like updated optimization or new templates without changing the core of ASP.NET, which is cool. 2012.2 included some things like scaffolding and friendly URLs that I'm going to dig into when we do demos here. It also took some of Mads Christensen's, who's in the front row here, took some of his VS Web Essentials, vswebessentials.com, we talked about that in the keynote, took some of his stuff and graduated it. This is our ASP.NET labs. This is our playground. We goof around and we see that's a cool idea. We put LESS support and CoffeeScript support into Visual Studio. That graduated from his little extension that he updates every week and now is in the actual shipping product. So you've got these features, and I'm going to show you some of these. Now, 2013, I'm going to just talk about a few of these, and then we'll go into just demos for the rest of the time, okay? So bear with me. I know there's a lot of text on the screen there. But let's break this down. One ASP.NET. I've been talking about this for, what, a year now, 18 months? You know, what does that mean? That is starting to come to fruition in 2013, and we will continue doing this. We've got Live Browser Refresh and Artery. Mads is going to go deep into that on Friday. I'm going to show you some interesting ideas, including something that Mads hasn't seen yet, that I think you'll be impressed with if I can actually pull it off. Kind of try to do the most difficult demos possible, right? Because then expect nothing and you'll never be disappointed. Yeah, really. Seriously, expect nothing. None of these demos are going to work. And if any of them work, you need to just explode into applause. Like, oh my God, file new project worked. Oh, that's amazing. It's all daily builds. One ASP.NET is what's really, really interesting. This idea that there is just one ASP.NET. I've been talking about this for a long time. This fight between the different versions and the different ways to do stuff in ASP.NET is nonsense. There is just ASP.NET at its core, and you know all this stuff. You might be a web forms developer, but you may want real-time communication, or you may want a web API. You may do your MVC front-end, but your administration back-end uses Telerik controls and web forms. You want to mix and match, and you don't want to feel bad, unsupported, or guilty because you're using a hybrid model. Hybrid was a dirty word. People were always hacking stuff together. For years, people were like, I got web forms and MVC to work together. Is that cool? Are we good with that? Like, you know, don't tell your local Microsoft rep because the guy in the city, local city is going to freak out. That's not okay. At the same time, other people are extending ASP.NET and doing really, really cool stuff. They're afraid of this dialog box. You guys know about this dialog, right? This is the file new, no matter what choice you pick, you're screwed. That's not a good feeling. That's not designed to make me feel good about myself. And so I just pick empty, right, and just build it from there because that's how I'm not going to get in trouble. I think that created an artificial fork in the road. It created bad feelings. It created confusion. So we're going to try to get rid of that. And then we're trying to extend the dialogue as well in ASP.NET and Visual Studio 2012.2. We are making it easier. We made it easier to put your own templates in there. So for example, there's a great open source application framework called NancyFX. There are other ones like Simple Web and Service Stack and a couple others I can't remember off the top of my head. And being in that dialog box is meaningful. It is meaningful because it's a vote of confidence. And we feel that they should be able to compete with us on a level playing field. If Nancy is better than Web API, well then by all means use Nancy. We all win if you're having a good time. So that sense of openness we want to kind of continue to promote. So the dialogue box in Visual Studio 2013 will start like this. It's File New, ASP.NET Application. Now we're still thinking about what the next step should look like, because we want people to have choices and we want to make it so anybody can get in there. So we've been brainstorming. And the dialogue box that we're shipping in preview, to the best of my knowledge, is certainly not final, the one that we showed today. We're thinking about how it should look. We want it to be flexible but not complicated. So this is the what we shipped in preview. So don't freak out by this one here. But that white space there where we've got single page apps and Facebook and mobile, we want to make it so you can get in there. In a perfect world, you're going to be able to use NuGet, package up the File New Fred application or File New Jane's favorite project framework, and be in that dialogue and be the default. And you could even do that at the enterprise level and make it so all enterprise things use the same template. So we're trying to move towards that goal, and 2013 makes major steps. So you remember how there was an MVC project type? That's gone. There is just ASP.NET projects. People are extending ASP.NET, and I want you guys, whether you be using NancyFX or SimpleWeb or OpenRasta or any of those other frameworks, or your own framework that you use yourself, that is also part of ASP.NET and is just as legitimate and just as important as web forms or MVC. Okay? This is happening. This is really cool. And I have to, you know, feel really good about Guthrie and all the bosses that are letting us head in this direction. And I hope you appreciate that while it may take a little time, we'll get there. And it's going to be pretty cool when we do show up. So, oh, thanks. So we're almost there. So one ASP.NET means unified dialogue. This is the part I'm going to show you in a minute here. Scaffolding for everyone, right? That means scaffolding for web forms, scaffolding for web API, extensible scaffolding that you could then NuGet in your scaffolding. We're hoping to do that after preview. MVC, web forms, cats and dogs, living together, mass hysteria. It's going to be awesome. Also, the identity system has been completely rewritten, and it's using a new thing called OWIN. O-W-I-N, Open Web Interface for .NET. You're going to want to start Googling with Bing for that and learning about that. That is an extensible middleware layer that lets you basically plug into an authentication pipeline. And if you saw the keynote this morning, we just were being silly to see what we could do. And we plugged in, you know, QR code generation. Why not? Right? We should be able to do that. You should be able to run an ASP.NET web API app from a command line without using IIS. You should be able to run an application that has no ASP.NET in it at all. Or maybe it bootstraps some existing framework like Nancy and does it from the command line, or does it in a Windows service. Sometimes you don't want IIS. You want to just have a small Windows service that makes some JSON calls. Whatever level of sophistication or flexibility you want, we want to give that to you guys. Okay, we want to compete on that level playing field. So now let's do some demos, shall we? All right, let's switch over here. We good? All right. That's a very tidy looking desktop there. So here's 2013 preview. And I'm going to go and hit new project. Now, you'll notice here that I've got portable class library. That is not going to be there. That's just one of those things we didn't get out there in time. So that's not going to be there. So don't worry about that. Oh, and we hid all the other stuff down here. So if you still want to make Sophie's choice, you come down here. Make that happen for you. Okay? Now, I can come in here and I could say anyone, but picking any one of these, this is really important. Picking any one of those, it's still just ASP.NET. Okay? This is just kind of for historical reasons, and I want to fill this up with your stuff, and I want details about what you built over here. So if I say MVC, I can just go down here and say, well, I need web forms and web API also. But I also want to be able to say file new empty, and then from anywhere, just say add controller or add web page. Just have it show up. Okay? The authentication stuff that's been plugged in now has not just the ability to do individual user accounts, but also, like we saw in the keynote, cloud accounts. When you click individual user accounts, if you haven't already heard, we include Twitter, Google, Facebook Auth out of the box using an open source project called .NET Open Auth. I'll show you an example of that. So you get forms auth that you're used to, and you get social auth if you like. So we'll go and hit create project and check that out. Kind of like the idea of my own camera crew just chilling like that. Although I don't like the idea of my giant head being up on the screen, though. I'm going to just try to keep you on your toes, sir. You're just never going to know. And then boom. It's like a ninja. I'm just going to disappear. You have no way of knowing it's going to happen, sir. You didn't know that was coming. You had no idea. No. Okay. So I just made a new project, and you see that we got Twitter Bootstrap. You guys familiar with Bootstrap, formerly known as Twitter Bootstrap? No, a little bit? Okay, so I'll show you a little bit of this. This is a nice, you know, if you're doing a simple application, yeah, I mean, it's going to look like Bootstrap in the sense of the theming is kind of standard, but you can go up and get themes from anywhere, and there's some pretty amazing themes for Bootstrap that will make it look not like this. That's the thing with the default template. If everyone uses it, it looks like the default. Now you see we've got these three columns here at the bottom, and as I bring them in, they get narrower. As they get smaller, they automatically stack up like that. You see? That's part of what Bootstrap offers. So if we go in and take a look at that, you see it says span 4. Basically, there's 12 columns in Bootstrap, and you have to make sure that everything adds up to 12. So I can go, I think, like this, change this. This is called a grid system, a CSS grid system. Some people feel that these are good things. Some people feel that they're not, but they are. They are out there, and they get you productive real quick. Do you like that? Should I just pretend that didn't happen? Is that okay? Boom. You can thank Mads Christensen for that. Yeah. That's pretty hot, isn't it? Actually, if we're going to be wacky, let's just be wacky, shall we? Foo. How can I do that, Mads? I can't do that part? You sure? You want to try that again? What if I did this? Can I do that? You want to come at me? You want to go? You tell me what I can't do, I'll tell you what I can do. What do you want to see? Lorem 10. What did that do? 10 words. 10 words. Ooh, can I do Lorem 2? Now you're just showing off. That's pretty cool. I'm going to learn that language. That looks pretty interesting. That's a language I need to know. Yeah, that's called Zen coding, also called Emmet, and that is included in ASP.NET Web Essentials. That's just a little plug-in, and then there's a 2013 version out? He's working on it. We'll get that soon. So you see down here, we just added Super Fancy Pants as a new column, and without me having to do anything, it's automatically responsive. It's doing the right thing. Big, kind of big, smaller, like that. So we felt that rather than us trying to build a responsive design template like this, we would just use Bootstrap. So now I can go up to somewhere else, like Bootswatch, I think it's called, like we did earlier. And let's grab something that's awesome. Ooh, superhero. I like that. And over here, I think that's chilling in content. Okay, so I'm going to put that here. Isn't that nice? And there are metro kind of flat looking bootstraps. So there's icon libraries. It doesn't have to look like that. It's kind of like jQuery mobile, where like if everyone uses default, yes, it looks like jQuery mobile. But then you can do some amazing stuff. So this is out of the box, and it's supported just like any other element that is in ASP.NET. So check that out. Now, you notice that we've got, of course, friendly URLs and stuff like that, right? That's because we're using MVC. let me do this. Let me make another app. And we'll do just web forms and web API. And here, this will have web forms on top, in a sense. Like, it was the first one, so it'll be the one that will have the default .aspx. And in this example, rather than Razor and a layout page, we're going to get a default.aspx and a site master page. You'll notice, though, that we've got mobile as well. So that nice mobile view switching that you like in MVC, web forms, people have that. You have that available. So you should feel awesome about that. And if I go and run this and then hit about, it says slash about. Okay, but where's that coming from? It's coming from there, because friendly URLs are the default. So if I have a foo.aspx, it's just slash foo. It used to be called Smarty Routes. I think the lawyers didn't think that was a good name. I like that name. I think that's a good name. So contact, same thing. There's a contact.asmx. It just shows up right there. Now let's go and make some models. I'm going to go and say add class. We'll do the person that we always do. We'll go prop, person ID, prop, first name, prop, last name. You try to type on stage, my friends. It's not cool. And I'm going to actually add a little something here. I'm going to say scaffold false on person ID. Okay? Scaffold column. That's what I want. That's in a data annotation. That just brought in data annotations. You guys know about that, right? This is really important. It's the little things that you can do to make your coworkers feel bad about themselves. That's why you come to these things. Right? I hope you know about this. You know, if you don't, just have your mind blown and feel good. So I type scaffold column, which I know is a class. It's just not available. I hit control dot, enter, and the using statement shows up, right? Now, there's a lot of hotkeys in Windows and in Visual Studio, and a lot of times people make each other feel bad about those, and a lot of crazy stuff's going on. But the two that you need to know, and I would even go so far as to say three, are control comma, which brings up the smart tags. So we control period, rather. Control comma, which has been improved in 2013, which now lets me go wherever I want. I just type person. It'll take me into specific CSS selectors, specific types, or file names. And then control Q, which gets you up into here. And that little box lets you search all of Visual Studio. So you know how someone's like, hey, I want to change my font size. How do you change your font in Visual Studio? Oh, silly, it's easy. It's tools, options, environments, text editors, plain text, colors and fonts, and then you click and you change your font. Come on, how hard is that? Suck it up, friend. Here you can type font, okay? But notice that we're not just searching font, but with different extensions like Web Essentials, we're actually searching the Visual Studio gallery itself at the same time. So we're searching all of this. If I want to go and find JavaScript references, I can find text editor specific things, including Visual Studio Gallery. So the community, again, up front, in your face, and available. This is what we're trying to accomplish. Okay? So now, scaffolding used to be a NuGet kind of command line thing, and it was a little advanced, and some people thought that was too complicated. And it was fun. It was scaffolding and doing code generation. You could get out to PowerShell and write a bunch of stuff. But we've added scaffolding here now. And it's one ASP.NET. And when you say add scaffold, the scaffolds themselves in a future version will be NuGettable. I'll be able to go and trade scaffolds with my friends. You know, you can get like somebody's scaffolding rookie card and then bring it over, and it could be awesome. And they could say, this is great, modify it, and then hand it to somebody else. So you'll notice that I've got MVC, Web API, and Web Form scaffolding. And these are going to be flexible, and you're going to be able to change them. So here, we're going to say person, and we're going to generate a data context and generate desktop views. And the data context we'll just call person context. Okay? So this is going to go and generate some code. So watch on the right-hand side here where the circle of patience is right now. You want to know something about the circle of patience? There's a missing frame. And it comes around, and right at 11 o'clock, it pops. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's going to ruin Windows for you, like, completely, because you're going to just be like, every time it happens. I wonder if they fixed that bug. Can't unsee it, my friends. So here, we've gone and generated person context, and we've got default, delete, edit, insert. Let's check this out. Hit person. Dun, dun, dun. Create new person. Okay. All the kind of stuff that you'd expect. Now, ordinarily, though, you would think, oh, you know, web forms, wham, wham, web forms is too hard. It's too many parts. But web forms now is actually pretty sweet. This is the code behind for the web form, for the list. Make sure you understand, this is really important. Now, remember before when I said, well, you know, there's data annotations and there's dynamic data and you go file a new project. What happened to dynamic data? Where's that guy? How does he feel? Is his project gone? Is dynamic data dead? We ask ourselves these questions. What we've done, rather than throwing stuff away, is we brought it together. Model binding that you know and love in MVC, it's in web forms. You have web forms model binding. Okay? Being able to go and return an IEnumerable or an IQueryable of something, things that MVC people take for granted. Web forms, look at that, it's returning IQueryable of person. Takes that person context, returns the people. Automatically does it. Now, but dynamic data used to be really good at figuring out controls. So here we've got dynamic controls. So if first name and last name were maybe birthday or phone number, it would generate stuff differently. So rather than you having to go and have a calendar control, and then when the boss says, hey, we switched over to Infragistics, all the calendar controls have to change. And then you have to go through all of them and change. You'll use templates and field templates and say, I want all calendars to be used this way. And then dynamic control and things like that and dynamic templating will figure it out. Notice the friendly URLs here as well. And if I go and do something like an edit, what do you see me not doing? What do you usually find yourself doing in things like web forms? Digging around in request.this, request.that, request.querystring, magic string. Here, person IDs and name value pair, the model binder's finding it, pulling it out of the request, and handling it. And then we say people.find, and we deal with it. And we say try update model. And it looks at the HTTP request, sees first name, sees last name, marries them together. Boom, you've got a person. That's the same stuff that MVC people are trying to do. So model binding as a concept is in web forms, web API, and in MVC. So now, if what I'm saying is not a huge lie, then I could say add scaffold, go down and pick web API, hit add, make a person API controller, and use the existing data context, okay? So now I'm in a web forms app adding a web API using the exact same person context, okay? So now I just got my API in here. Maybe I should have made that person or something else. That's probably not the best name, but you get the idea. Actually, we can probably try that. Boom. Boom. There we go. Let's see if that works. That won't break anything. We're all going to die. This is actually kind of cool. It gives me a chance to do the search and replace action. The new search and replace is hot. Okay. Because search and replace never goes wrong, right? Global search and replace, nothing ever goes wrong with that. It's a solid operation. And you guys saw what I did. You see all these green over here? You see this? And right click, scroll bar, map mode. make it narrow because I got, there you go, look at that. Isn't that cool? All right, so let's run that. And I think, so I'm just going to hit API/person. Let's do it like this because IE wants to download that file, see? Let's do it like this. We'll say curl API person. So that's the person that I added with web forms. So you see how it's all coming together, right? Now that returned JSON. Right? Because that's the way that that works. And I could post a person to that endpoint. I could get a person or persons. I could say go and get person at one, get that oneth person. I could go into something like Chrome and use Postman, which is like a REST client. It's kind of like Fiddler, except it runs in the browser. And I could say API/person and go and get that. And because I didn't give it an accepts header, it defaulted to XML. And here it's going to give me the XML of that same endpoint. Because that's how RESTful things work. It's a resource-based thing. So what if I said I wanted a PNG, and I say get API person? Well, maybe it'll send me a picture of that person. Or if I say I only accept V cards, I could make this thing return the V card and then load it up into Outlook or into Google Mail, which would be awesome. Again, all backed by the same database stuff that we were using before, the entity framework. Now, here, I could go potentially then and change this find and say async await, and I believe I could say find async now, because entity framework 6 now supports async. So now I just let that thread go. Let's say that find was going to take a couple hundred milliseconds. In the past, that's going to tie up that request. That HTTP request is just going to sit there, and it can't serve any more requests. It's got to block and do I/O. Now we've got non-blocking I/O all the way down, and I don't have to do anything hard to do it. It's just built in, which is really sweet. I can do that in MVC, and I can do that in Web API. Okay, cool. So let me see here. What's a fun thing to show you? Let's do this. How much time do I got? 20 minutes? I can probably break some things in 20 minutes, make you guys smile. You've seen the migrations. I'm going to go ahead and just enable that real quick because I don't know what I'm going to do. Making all this up. Enable migrations. Don't want to waste your time, though. Okay. There we go. See, it just made the scaffolding. So we had scaffolded this thing out, and sometimes people find this a little bit confusing. What we want to do is we want to have control over our database. So you see our initial create right there? That is the C# description of what a people table looks like. The up means go to that next version, and the down is this. Now, this sometimes bothers people, though, because it is dynamically generating SQL to do this. So they want to do stored procedures. Some people say an ORM is too hard, and they have to insist on stored procedures. They need more control. The database people demand things a certain way. So what we could potentially do is this. I'm going to grab a little chunk of code, and I'm going to run over into context, and we'll talk about this and see if this doesn't break something, because that would be fun. This is the context. This is that person context that talks to the database. Let's say override on model creating. And this is the opportunity to jump in and change the behavior of the entity framework and make it behave differently. Right now, by default, it's going to make the database for me, and it's going to create the SQL dynamically. But I could go and say, well, I want entities, like the person object, to use stored procedures. I don't want to use things the other way. So now I could go in here theoretically and say add migration, sprox, just whatever, I don't know, poo. That's only funny if it works. If it doesn't work, then we'll know why I said poo. And then say update database. Okay. So now the entity framework is actually going to use these stored procedures that I could then edit if I felt like it. If I was, you know, knew what I was doing, because I don't know what I'm doing. But if I did know what I'm doing, we've got stored procedures for insert, update, delete, And then, of course, moving back would then drop those. So you have that flexibility. It's still going to work exactly the same as before. So for enterprise developers who want this new stuff, but their SQL administrators aren't going to let them do a random ORM and go and say, call anything that they want, you can do that now, and it's just going to work. Now, before, I showed you this, which has been in Visual Studio for a little while. We've added a couple things. In 2012.2, we put in more emulators. You click on that, it's going to take you up and give you opportunities to find mobile emulators. I've added one here from a really cool guy at Electric Plum. Have you seen this? The Electric Plum mobile simulator. So I can go like this. And now I've got a custom build, a custom WebKit build. And you see how it came out mobile, right? Well, it came out mobile rather than using Bootstrap because we've got that mobile switcher down here. You may not want to do Bootstrap. You might want an entirely separate mobile site, do things entirely differently. I'll get rid of that. I want to have a little bit more control over what's going on. I could go in here, though, and I could say, as we saw before, browse with, and say Google Chrome and Internet Explorer. And you guys saw this in the keynote, right? Because I don't want to show you this again. I'm going to show you something crazy. I'll show it to you. You saw this part? Yes or no? Yes. All right. Did you see this part? Because why not, right? Because nothing could go wrong. Maybe this was a bad idea. Okay, so that's one. My mouse picked the wrong time to die. And there's a nightly build of Firefox. And there's a freaking iPad that's huge. Let's change you, friend. And there's IE. Okay. All right, everybody. Now, I hear that in the next version of Windows, we're going to have the ability to rearrange our windows. Maybe they might even overlap. Actually, I have an idea. Does this still work? Ooh. No, don't want you. You look, is this one 48? That looks good. He's not playing nicely at all. I don't know what he's doing. I don't need you. Let's try that again. iPhone just really wants attention. Look at me. I'm an iPhone. Yeah, let's close you down, try it again. This is fun. It's just you just roll the dice and you just see what happens. And the iPhone just doesn't move, which is also nice. It's just like, no, I'm always on top, buddy. All right. Well, I don't know what to do with him. We'll just hide you down here. Okay. So, because this is how we all work, right? 13-inch monitor, just like that, you know. I know I do most of my best work that way. Let's go into Site Master. And where is that ASP.NET text? It is a free web. There we go. Yeah, that's awesome. See, now I feel like I'm that person. You know the person at work like this person? I'm that guy now. I want to make sure everyone's clear. I'm not trying to hate on people. I'm that guy now. All right, let's do this. Yeah, it worked. That's cool. You can see, in this case, there's actually 5 browsers connected. Okay? So how are we doing this? Let's dig in, because this is super cool. What we're doing is we've got SignalR running inside of Visual Studio. And if you do a view source here, go down, the very end, this is where the rules get broken. At the very end, this isn't even good. I don't think this is officially good HTML because he does it after the body tag, okay? And he goes and he puts in some script and he gives you information about the source file. Now, that's really interesting. If you're maybe writing a browser tool, you could potentially figure out, like you've seen Page Inspector, what HTML was generated by what server-side code. So we're kind of like sourcing this source map. And he puts in this thing called Artery. That was the code name for BrowserLink. We don't know what we're going to call BrowserLink. If you have an awesome name, tell us. He puts that in. Let's look at what happens. I'm going to hit F12, and we're going to look at this, because this is super interesting, because I want you to think about the possibilities. It's not about live reload, okay? It's not. That's easy. What could you do once your browser and your IDE are connected and they know everything about each other? Okay? Go check out Mads' talk tomorrow, and he's going to show you some just totally out there ideas. Synchronized browsing across all five browsers, maybe keep the scroll place there, maybe have the forms sync up. I mean, what? Just imagine what you could do. Okay? Now look down here. See this negotiate? Look at the differences in the port. There's where we go and we serve our port. IIS is serving that JavaScript. And then over here, we're trying to do that SignalR connection. Like, can we talk to the browser? Is this cool? And it goes and it makes a connection with SignalR, and then we push out new information. We push out new information. We could update the CSS. We could maybe have live editing. There's a lot of really, really cool ideas. So here's what I wanted to try, and I don't know if this is going to work, but I could not think of anything cooler than this, because it breaks probably a half dozen rules and will actually send this website directly to the NSA, which is nice. Actually, we added a go to NSA button. It just makes it easier for them to have your stuff and gets rid of those pesky those warrants. So what I'm going to do is I'm just firing up Chrome here, okay? And there's a thing called Browser Stack. Are you guys familiar with Browser Stack? You can go to modern.ie to get this. This is amazing. So watch. I'm going to hit Control F5, and look what it says. What browser do I want to test on? I'll test on Firefox 20, because everybody's on Firefox 20 on Lion, right? And then I hit go, and it's going to send me up in here. And wait a second. Java is insecure? Later. So what this does is it's going to make a connection, okay, with me. And it's going to fire up a Mac in the sky, then VNC into it and let me see my system, okay? Here's the crazy part, though. I still want that live reload to work, okay? So how am I going to do that? Okay, so there's my little Mac in the sky. What I want to try to do is I'm going to go fire this up. I got to figure out what these ports are. Okay, so we're on 46642. You guys remember these numbers, okay? Because I have no memory or a pen, or apparently a computer with Notepad or the ability to put things in the clipboard. And what we're going to do is we're going to open desktop. And this is, again, an idea, but I want to know if you think it's a good idea. Like, assume that it wouldn't be this hard, but, you know, hard things are worth doing, aren't they? So I'm here, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a connection using this little Java thing. I'm going to punch a hole and make a tunnel from two ports on my local host to the cloud system and see if we can enable that real-time communication between all of these systems. So 48642, and then this one is 48663. Okay? Okay. You can now access our local servers in your remote browser. All right. So we have a connection, and we're talking to, let's see if make sure that this works. Our local stuff works fine. About. Okay, so Fancy Pants still works. It's being served by this here. I want to make sure you're clear. My IIS is running here on stage on our awesome and very well thought of Wi-Fi. Now, I'm going to fire up Browser Stack in a browser. Okay. And what I want to do is I'm going to say, test a local URL, and we're going to go to 48642 on Lion. We'll do Safari just for difficulty points. And we'll say, start testing. So we're firing up a Mac in the cloud. Nice. Not the easiest way to see that. Can I make it bigger? Ah, there we go. That's a little hard to see, but you get the idea. I'm sure I'm doing something wrong here. Oh, Macs have reversed scrolly thing. There we go. Okay, Mac in the cloud, Java punching holes in the firewall, breaking rules. Boom. You didn't think I could do that, did you, Mads? No, that's pretty cool, huh? So what we need, you know, we're just brainstorming here, right? We want to share with you guys, because this is the thing, right? We could think about this for 2 years, and we could build it, and then bring it, and then like drop it at build, wherever we are, the next build, and you guys could go, eh. And that would make us feel really bad. So what we want to do is we want to be more like the web. We want to release stuff more often. We want to read things in a more open way. We want to talk to you guys about what you think is cool, what you think is not cool. We want to build extensible products that you can plug into. So just like Mads has taken Web Essentials and he's plugged it into Visual Studio, and now he can rev that all the time. He can make changes to how Visual Studio behaves as much as he wants. I'll give you some ideas of some of the stuff that he's done. We can go into our CSS. I can look at things like Bootstrap. We saw this in the keynote. I can hover over and see what version of things are supported. That's part of what he's done, is plug that in. What else could we do? We want to have that conversation with you guys. I think we could take, let's see, any pictures here? Are there any images? Do we have any images? Do you wonder if he supports big images? Here's a picture of me working. That's the only picture that I have access to. I can't use that picture there because now I've just pointed at it and now I'm going to get sued. That's not good. It's all over now. What if I pick up this picture, drop it in here, and then, oh, see, look at that. See how I hover over it? It shows me a preview of what the thing looks like. That's cool. What if I made a new thing here. We'll make one called, we'll just call it Foo. We'll grab the picture, drag it in here. That's cool. That's cool. So I'm actually hovering. I like that. You're easy. All right. Thank you for that smattering of applause. So for that one person in the back there, this is for you. I can't see you because the lights, but this is what we're right here. Ready for this? Oh, yes. Let's see if it... Oh, I did it! Oh, that was probably a mistake. Oh, that was a mistake. Oh, no. Ah. Did I mention that the editor has been rewritten and it's faster than ever? And then for IE6. Yeah. Now, if I hover over it, though, he reassembles it and still shows it to me. That's how we roll, people. A couple other things just to show you that are fun. You've seen background color, and I can go and say goldenrod, best color. Notice that we're getting color swatches to show you what goldenrod looks like, which is cool. I can go and go Scott Goo color, right? And you know about this. This has been in 2012 for a little while. I can hit Control-Y, which means Control-J, rather. Those are the colors in my current palette. So it actually has gone through this entire CSS and figured out that those are there. I can pull this down and go like this and do this. Wah! Or I can pick this tiny Legend of Zelda sword. That is actually an eyedropper. and I can pick from any of the rich color palettes that Visual Studio has made available to us. I think I'll pick bone gray. All right, let's switch back over to the slides. So we want to make tiny little happy features. We want to make them open. We want to make them optional. We want to make them fun. We want to make them with you guys. We've got extensibility points in the CSS editor. We've got brand new extensibility points in the HTML5 editor, all new in 2013. We've got pluggable authentication and authorization. We're going to have pluggable scaffolding. We're going to have a dialogue where you and the community can get in it, whether you be your enterprise or whether you are the community or you have a framework of your own. We're going to try to make it as open and as fun and as interesting as possible. And I hope that you continue to play with us. I want to make sure that you go and see Mads' talk on Friday at 10:30, because it's going to blow your mind. He's going to show you some of the future stuff. He's got daily builds that won't work. It's going to be good. And then we've got Damian Edwards talking about SignalR today. I hope that you check this stuff out, and I hope that you appreciate what we're doing. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, please do tweet me. I will ignore you. And keep the conversation going. We really, really appreciate you guys, and we hope that you appreciate what we're doing. Thank you very much.